Welcome to the Love Letters to Poe podcast. I'm Sarah Crokel Smith, publisher and editor-in-chief, bringing you wonder and terror, romance and horror in this gothic fiction magazine. Each week, I'll be sharing a new gothic story or poem from the pages of Love Letters to Poe. You can find the original stories and poems, author interviews, your free copy of the magazine's inaugural issue, and much more at loveletterstopoe.com. Today's gothic story is titled Midnight Rider, read by the author Melanie Cosey. This story can be found in Volume 1, Issue 1 of Love Letters to Poe. I hope you enjoy this haunting tale.
This is Melanie Cosey, and I'm reading my short story, Midnight Rider. If I could stop time, return to the singular moment when my path diverged from happiness to one of despair, I would switch my course and walk away from that cursed beast who had eyed me with contempt on our first meeting. But I cannot, and it is my greatest torment. In the unfortunate hours during which I wake from the gift of nothingness into this new reality, I am doomed to replay the events that led to the loss of my beloved until sleep finds me again. When Annabelle had at last agreed to marry me, it was the happiest moment of my half-lived life. I was a malingerer, you see. My working life was spent in lowly positions, a dustman, a rat catcher, even a pure finder. It seemed fitting to look down on me, but I was single-minded in my goal to create for myself a better life than that of my father and his father before him. Nary a half penny I misspent. I became educated in matters of investing, financing several lucrative ventures. I applied those profits towards a coal mine on the west coast of Canada. It has since exceeded the wildest predictions of success. I knew Annabelle favored me. At the grand balls, her head would turn when I neared, inclining toward me rather than her dance partner. But to win her hand, I knew I must impress her father, and so I set out to succeed in the same way that I had succeeded in building my wealth. She delighted in my declarations of adoration at her beauty, her carefree childlike spirit, her compassion, and her tenderness. And then she delighted in my gifts. I admit that it became as an addiction to me, to see the flush of pink rise to her cheeks and the failed suppression of a smile, then the dip of her head as a finger moved to smooth a blonde lock behind her ear. Such gifts proved my love for my Annabelle, but I do curse them now. One afternoon, while strolling with Annabelle's aunt, we came upon a pasture where several Frisians grazed. Annabelle remarked that she didn't care much for these inferior Frisians, bred lighter and faster for trotting races. She'd a keen love for the power and grace the breed had once possessed as formidable war horses. So I set upon the idea to procure for her a stallion of original stock. Such a lavish gift would surely convince her father of my means and devotion. I'd come by the horse, not at auction, the likes of which produce questionable stock and worn-out nags, but through a trusted colleague. The stallion's pedigree was impeccable. My colleague had advised me to bring my top offer, as there were several interested parties. I hurried to Norfolk to secure the stallion. You never saw such a handsome creature, the luster of his blue-black coat gleaming in the sunlight, his muzzle sloped in a regal incline, his eyes intelligent, taking me in with the wisdom of a decorated general surveying the battlefield. But there was something more, a look of contempt, before, with a snort, he was off for another turn around the ring. Upon my mentioning the beast was to be a gift for my sweet Annabelle, the breeder protested, "Oh no, sir, this is not a lady's horse. This is a breeding stallion." I swore that I would not allow Annabelle to ride him, but of what use is a man's caution when a lady is determined to do as she pleases? I offered on him, and the breeder accepted. I created an elaborate affair of my gifting him. I had his mane decorated in purple velvet ribbons, and his hide scrubbed clean to shine like satin. His tail was braided, and his hooves buffed and polished. When Annabelle hurried to the gate to greet me, she could not hide her delight, and then her exhilaration, as, dressed in my finest attire, I asked for her hand. With her father's approval, we wed as soon as could be arranged. 4 months into wedded bliss, the ghastly news came. I was in my study and leapt up as Thomas's shouts reached me. "Mr. Richards, come quickly! Mrs. Richards been thrown! Sir, she's... Oh, God! It's dire, sir!" I jerked open my desk drawer and grabbed my pistol. "Annabelle!" I shouted, bursting out the kitchen door. The vining of terror and sorrow strangled me as I raced toward the huddle of staff near the forest's edge. Hands reached to stop me, but I pitched myself down the embankment towards the woods below where my beloved Annabelle lay, but the angle of her head and neck revealed what I'd feared. I fell before her disordered body and lifted her head loose on her neck to kiss her still warm lips, those lips that would never again utter my name. Her violet eyes had now darkened to indigo. I touched the bodice of her riding habit. Her lungs lay still, forever relieved of their function. I let her slide from my grasp and rose. The pistol's weight in my grasp galvanized me as I blinked away tears and my determination to find the beast that had stolen my Annabelle from me. The damnable creature moved through the trees like a trail of smoke after a gunshot. I followed him to a clearing where he turned to me, muzzle pressed forward, head lowered, eyes flat against his skull. I leveled my pistol at him, and when the evil flashed in his eyes, I fired. The beast struck the earth dead. My wails for Annabelle mixed with the fresh copper of spilled devil's blood. It's been 2 weeks since Annabelle was taken from me. I am a mere outline of a once rich painting. I sleep by day and awaken to the subtle variances of my furnished room cloaked in darkness and, through the window, the silver lawn beyond. And to something else, on the edge of the embankment where my Annabelle took her last ride, there is movement. A shadow paces, weaving itself through the trees. Is it my love come back to me, come to curse me for gifting her that hellish creature who threw her to her death? Or has she come to absolve me, to admonish me not to despise myself, for heaven is all she's imagined and more? I do not know which, for the shadow does not step forward to reveal itself. When I next awoke to the shadow moving at the forest edge, I summoned my courage to open the window and I called out, "Annabelle, my dearest!" I waited, straining my ears in the silent night. But only a foul odor, like the taint of death, was returned to me. Choking, I slammed the window and collapsed in tears. It was after this night that I began to hear my name. "Hayden!" It reached through the nothingness and prized my eyes apart. My gaze fell upon the open window. Had I left it so? I could not remember. As I threw the covers aside and placed my feet on the floor, an icy chill grabbed me. Then it sounded again, my name cloaked in a kind of screech that echoed across the property. Whatever it was out there, I could avoid it no longer. It had summoned me. With dread, I pulled on my dressing gown, ran downstairs, and thrust myself into the starless night. I raced across the lawn through the lacy mist toward the shadow, toward my Annabelle. But another shriek cut through the tomb-like silence, halting my steps. The deep and urgent nicker of a horse. My mind stalled as my innards twisted, throwing me into a terror I had never known. Then the shadow began to take form. It loomed over me. His muscular chest, once reflecting an inky sheen, was now dulled with mud and detritus. Those purple velvet ribbons lay tattered and tangled in his mane. His angular nose pressed forward into the moonlight, eyes gleaming with malice. The beast, the devil Annabelle had named Midnight, stood fully before me. Between those fearsome eyes, the bullet wound where I'd shot him oozed blood. It trickled down his face, painting his muzzle in grisly crimson. "Take me to her, I beg you." The dreadful horse bobbed his head, and that weeping wound splattered me with the blood of the damned. There was nothing left for me in this world. A world without my beloved, my Annabelle, was a world foreign and detestable to me, and so I bore my terror, ran at the hell-sent creature, swiped at the bedraggled rein that hung from his shoulder, and flung myself onto that cursed hide. I flailed him into action, a motion he only readily accepted, as with a pump of that powerful neck, he bore me away towards the embankment and towards the arms of my beloved Annabeth.
If you enjoyed this work of fiction, please show your love by leaving a review. Never miss another story or poem by visiting loveletterstopoe.com/join. And if you want the party to continue, I invite you to Prince Prospero's Masquerade over at patreon.com/loveletterstopoe. Until next time, embrace what lurks in the shadows. You never know what gothic adventure lay within.